Narayanam Namaskritam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udhirayat Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naisukhi. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, we should first offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Naranarayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and Srila Prabhupada, the translator and commentator, by regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead who is praised with transcendental song is established as an irrevocable fact. Hare Krishna, so we have some verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 75, which is Duryodhana humiliated, and we have from text 8 to 12. Hmm? 8 to 15. You're actually right. Thank you. Sorry. 8 to 15. You're right. Mm-hmm. Ritvik sadasya bahuvishtu suritameshu svesteshu sunrita samarhana dakshina abhi Chadye sasatvata patesh charanam pravishte chakrus tatastvav avrita snapanam yunadyam. And only for the sake of time, we'll skip the word for words and we'll read the translation. After the priests, the prominent delegates, the greatly learned saints, and the king's most intimate well-wishers had all been properly honored with pleasing words, auspicious offerings, and various gifts as remuneration. And after the king of Chedi had entered the lotus feet of the lord of the Satpatas, the Avabrita bath was performed in the divine river Jamuna. A very short purport by Prabhupada's disciples is, the gifts offered to the distinguished guests included valuable jewelry. So you can tell right off the bat that that's a Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comment that they included in that. So do you remember from yesterday's class what some of the people did that were mentioned in yesterday's class to honor the Maharaj Yudhisthira in his Rajasuya Jagya? There was a list of different people and the different services that they performed. He was, wasn't he? He looked at Duryodhana. Okay, someone else? Remember anything else? Other personalities? Remember what Nakula and Sahadev did? Or Nakula? What did Nakula? Huh? He procured needed items. Who was the one that greeted? It must have been Sahadev. It was Sahadev. Sahadev greeted the guests. And what did Arjun do? He attended the elders, so similar. You remember what Krishna did? Washed the feet of all the guests. Amazing, huh? And Draupadi? Served prasadam. And then you must know, does it say that Bhima was in charge of the kitchen? It doesn't say that there, but anyway, we knew that, right? Okay, text 9. Mridanga shanka pavana dundurjana kago mukhai vatitrani vichitrani nedhor avritotosave. During the Avabrita celebration, the music of many kinds of instruments resounded, including mridangas, conch shells, panavas, dunduris, kettle drums, and gomukha horns. Text 10. Nartakyo nan ritur hrishta gayaka yutaso jagu te sham sa gam sa divyam asprishat. Female dancers danced with great joy, and choruses sang, while loud vibrations of Venus, flutes, and hand cymbals reached all the way to the heavenly regions. Now, how can those sounds reach all the way to the heavenly region? It's very interesting when they say things like that, and oftentimes there's different times when there's reference to sound vibration that reaches up to the heavenly planet. And when you hear classes by Sataputta Prabhu, he'll say, this is very interesting, and there's lots of things you could say about that. I personally don't have lots of realization on that, but from listening to some of his classes and other classes, there's different dimensions, and sound travels in different dimensions. And so that transcendental sound vibration will travel in a different way than material sound vibration, so those people who are tuned to spiritual sound vibration can hear, even they're millions of miles away, which is the explanation, in case you're wondering, why when Gajendra, was in the water and being attacked by the crocodile, and he offered prayers with his big elephant form, the Lord could hear it. He could hear it all the way in the Vaikuntha planets. He could hear it, aside from the fact that he's in the heart of every living entity. Still, he could hear it all the way from the Vaikuntha planets. And he could travel that incalculable distance from the Vaikuntha planets to where Gajendra was and rescue him in a moment, because he's transcendental to material limitations. Text 11. Chitra dvaja patagra grar ibhendra shandararvabi svalankritar batar bupa niryayo rukma malinaha. Translation. All the kings wearing gold necklaces then set off for the Jamuna. They had flags and banners of various colors and were accompanied by infantrymen and well-adorned soldiers riding lordly elephants, chariots, and horses. So we're getting a visual here that this is no small celebration. This is a huge celebration going towards the Jamuna, which in the next verse is going to even list the different armies. So many thousands upon thousands of people are there going to accompany and celebrate Maharaj Yudhisthira's termination of this Rajasuya Jagya with this Avabhuta bath ceremony. Text 12. Yadu Shrinjaya Kamboja Kuruke Kaya Koshalaha Kampanyanto Bhuvam Shanar Yajamana Purasharaha. The massed armies of Yadus, Srinjayas, Kambojas, Kurus, Kekayas, and Koshalas made the earth tremble as they followed Yudhisthira Maharaj, the performer of the sacrifice, in procession. Text 13. Sadasya Tvigdvija Shresta Brahma Goshena Bhuyasa Devarshi Pitri Gandharvas Tushtuvu Pushpa Varshinaha. The assembly officials, the priests, and other excellent Brahmins resoundedly vibrated Vedic mantras, while the demigods, divine sages, Pitas, Gandharvas sang praises and rained down flowers. So very exalted members of society and different planetary systems are attending this festival, this part of the festival, and probably the whole Rajasuya Jagya, obviously. And 14, Svalankrita Naryo Gandashragbhushanam Barahai Vilimpantyo Bishinchantyo Vijahur Vividai Rasahai. Men and women, all adorned with sandalwood paste, flower garlands, jewelry, and fine clothing, sported by smearing and sprinkling one another with various liquids. In text 15, Tala Gorasa Gandhoda Haridra Sandra Kunkumai Pumbir Liptai Pralimpantyo Vijagruvarayoshita. Translation, the men smeared the courtesans with plentiful oil, yogurt, perfumed water, turmeric, and kumkum powder, and the courtesans playfully smeared the men with the same substances. The purport by Prabhupada's disciples, Srila Prabhupada describes this scene as follows, quote, the men and women of Indraprastha, their bodies smeared with scents and floral oils, were nicely dressed in colorful garments and decorated with garlands, jewels, and ornaments. They were all enjoying the ceremony, and they threw on each other liquid substances like water, oil, milk, butter, and yogurt. Some even smeared these on each other's bodies. In this way, they were enjoying the occasion. The professional prostitutes were also engaged by jubilantly smearing these liquid substances on the bodies of the men, and the men reciprocated in the same way. All the liquid substances had been mixed with turmeric and saffron, and their color was a lustrous yellow. Om Aginati Mirandasya Janandana Salakaya Chakshu Ulimitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Hare Krishna. So in honor of Vamana Deva's appearance day, I am going right to Vamana Deva. Unless anyone has any comments on these wonderful verses of these very exalted personalities who are enjoying themselves all in relation to Krishna. That's the amazing thing. It's all in relation to Krishna, and therefore it's not even the mode of goodness. It's above the mode of goodness. So when we consider the pastimes of Vamana Deva, they're so interesting, Lord Vamana Deva's appearance day, Lord Vamana's appearance, and how when I was thinking of the whole scene setting up to his appearance, I was contrasting it to another one. So Kasyapa had 17 wives, 13 of whom were the daughters of Daksha. And so the mother of Vamanadeva, who he was appeared from her womb, appeared like that, was Aditi. So Aditi was very disturbed after Bali Maharaj by gaining Bali Maharaj. He pleased his spiritual master Sukracharya and the Brahmins and performed many, many sacrifices to gain sufficient strength to conquer the whole world. And so he proceeded, after doing these rituals and pleasing his spiritual master and becoming empowered by that potency, he proceeded to write to the heavenly kingdoms and to conquer King Indra. And when King Indra and the other demigods that were assembled there saw the force, the mighty force of Bali Maharaj's army, just coming into his capital, do you remember what the name of the capital of Indra is? Devadana. Anyway, so just coming into Indra's capital, he just saw it, and he was intelligent enough to just understand, just by seeing, that he wasn't going to be able to conquer them. He could tell just by seeing. He wasn't false at that particular point. He wasn't falsely puffed up thinking that he could do it. He could see that this force, and all the demigods could see, this force is greater than our power now. So they went to their spiritual master, Brihaspati, and asked them, how is it that what can we do to counteract this force, and how is it that Bali's gotten so powerful? Because previously we've defeated him many times. So Brihaspati said that Bali is gotten this power through pleasing his spiritual master, and at this particular time you can't conquer him, so better that you flee, better that you leave here, don't even put up a fight, better leave and just wait for the opportune time when Bali, having offended his spiritual master, displeasing his spiritual master, will lose his potency and it will be very easy to regain your kingdom. So that's the back scene. So the demigods then explains in the eighth canto, the demigods then took different forms. Like Indra took the form of a peacock, and this one took different forms. They took different forms, and they hid themselves, you know, in different places so that they didn't even encounter the demigods at that particular point. So now back at Kasyapa Muni's ashram, Aditi, the mother of the demigods, is very disturbed that her sons have been pushed out of their rightful position, and the demons, Bali and all his demoniac soldiers, have usurped their position. So she approaches her husband Kasyapa and says to him, she offers her prayers to him, and she said, by your potency, can you please create auspiciousness by your intelligence so that my son can regain what they have lost? That's her prayer to Kasyapa. So Kasyapa, when he hears that she's praying for the welfare of her son, he thinks, oh, how great is the illusory potency of Vishnu, by which the whole world is covered by this conception of my family, I and mine and my family, and prosperity for my family. But it, even so, he thought like that. Still, because he was a very exalted sage, he offered her a means by which she could please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he himself would incarnate in her womb, and he would take care of the situation. And his response was, he said that he proceeds to tell her to worship the Supreme Lord, who is the controller and master of everyone, and he, the Lord, will inspire Bali to ignore his guru, and he will give benefit, the Lord, he'll give benefit not only to Indra, not only to Bali Maharaj, the two opposing parties, but he'll give benefit to me, Kasyapa, and you, Aditi, and the whole world. So the Supreme Lord, he's equal to everyone. He's not partial just to the demigods, or is he inimical to the demons. No, he's wishing well for all of them. So Kasyapa engages Aditi in the Pumsavana ritualistic ceremony, by which she, for I believe it's like a year, she performed these austerities to get a son that would conquer Indra. Bali, thank you. That's what I meant to say, but thanks. Uh-huh. Conquer. That's because I was thinking of the next person I was going to talk to you about was Diti. Diti, on the other hand, when her sons were killed, she's also married to Kasyapa, but she's one of the 13 daughters of Daksha. So when her two sons, who were Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, when they were both killed by Vishnu on the request of Indra, by the request of Indra, because he went to the Lord to ask for protection from these demons, so then the Lord incarnated as Varaha and also as Nrisingadev. So when they were both killed, Diti was very angry. And at that time, even though previously she was very glad that she couldn't get a son, a grandson, at this particular point she's angry. And she approaches Kasyapa for a son. What she does is she starts to serve Kasyapa really nicely and do this and do that and attracts his mind. And then when he's so pleased with all her service, he says, why don't you ask for a benediction? And she says, yes, my benediction is that I want a son that will kill Indra. And at that point, Kasyapa thinks, now I am going to be entangled in the inauspicious activity of killing Indra. Alas, what a fool I am for being attracted by my wife, whatever. So he also, at that particular point, he gives her the Pumsavana ritualistic ceremony, whatever, austerity, by which she could get a son if she performs it absolutely 100% perfectly. She'll get a son that will be able to kill Indra. But he also gave her this little caveat. He said, but if you don't perform it perfectly, you'll get a son who's favorable to Indra. So Indra heard about that, and he decides to serve his aunt very meticulously, but not because out of friendship, because out of fear. Out of fear, he's serving her because he wants to find a fault. He's waiting for when she commits a fault so that he can kill the embryo within the womb. Very amazing. And so because in one day she went to bed without washing her hands and feet during the twilight hours, Indra found that fault, and so he entered her womb and slashed, killed, cut with his thunderbolt, cut up the embryo of Diti. And you know what happened? The embryo, he cut it into 7 pieces, and then 7 babies started to cry. So Indra said, "Don't cry, don't cry." And then he cut those 7 pieces into each one into 7 more pieces. So there's 49 little babies now within her womb, and they're all crying. They're saying, "My dear Indra, we are your brothers, the Maruts. Please don't kill us." And Indra said, very magnanimously, he said, "Oh, well, if you're all my brothers, you have no need to fear now." And so then all the babies were born, and Aditi's just there asleep. She doesn't know what's happening. She's asleep. And Indra, because he has the mystic potency of anima and lagima, you know, he can become greater than the greatest or smaller than the smallest. He entered her womb while she was asleep, and he did that. And so then when she wakes up, there's 49 sons there and Indra at the same time. And she says, she very forthrightly reveals her mind, and she says, "My dear Indra, I performed this Humsavana ritual ceremony to get a son that would kill you." She tells him right straight out. "And now I see that there's 49, and I prayed for one son, and now there's 49 sons here, and they're all favorable to you. Can you please tell me what's going on, and don't tell me lies?" And because she, Prabhupada says in the purport that because she was so forthright in expressing her mind very honestly, he, Indra, expressed his mind also. "Oh yes, well, I just did all of this just so I could get the son to kill you because I heard you were blah, 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 and then this, and now I'm really sorry." But anyway, these Maruts are now, they're on the status of demigods, even though they were born from Diti. Anyway, I just thought it was interesting because they're both wives of Kasyapa. And they had different mentalities, but they also had that they both wanted to protect their sons, but in a different way. So anyway, I thought it was very interesting, and I wanted to share that with you, Hare Krishna. So when the glories of Lord Vamanadeva are explained in the 8th canto. But there's also these very, very wonderful prayers in the 5th canto, in the 24th chapter of the 5th canto, which is a description of the subterranean heavenly planets. Because if you remember, after Vamanadeva expanded his foot and pierced a hole in the covering of the universe, some of the causal ocean water came down in the form of the Ganges. And the Lord had no place to put his foot, his third pace. He put it on Bali's head. But still the Lord was dissatisfied with Bali, or appeared to be dissatisfied with Bali, and for a time threw him into a jail, threw him into a cave for not being able to keep his promise. But Bali is very, very interesting. The whole attitude that's displayed by Bali Maharaj during that whole incident. Because Bali Maharaj, and this is expressed in this 5th canto in the 24th chapter, he expresses these really amazingly astute prayers to Lord Vamana and thanking him and glorifying him for all of his activities. Because Bali Maharaj's motivation, as soon as he saw Lord Vamana enter the arena, just before anything happened, as soon as he saw him, he was attracted to him by his beauty. And he, in his heart, at that moment, just by seeing him, he wanted to give him everything. And then as the circumstances played out and he had the opportunity to give him the three, that's why when Vamana asked for 3 paces of land, Bali's initial reaction was, you're just a child, you're not so intelligent, your intelligence hasn't developed so much, because you can ask for me anything and I can fulfill it, you won't have to come and ask again for anything else. But you're just a child and you're just asking for 3 paces of land. And he's looking at his little teeny feet, which are like, you know, a few inches long. And how can you, with 3 paces of land, get enough to sustain yourself for your whole life without having coming back to ask someone great like myself for more charity? Better that I give you some villages and wives and this and that and wealth so that you don't have to ask for anything. Vamanadeva says, if I can't be satisfied with 3 paces of land to my own measurement, I'll never be satisfied with anything. Anyway, so Bali agreed to give him the 3 paces of land, and as Keshava was reading, and you're all very familiar, Sukracharya told him, don't give it to Vishnu. Now, at that particular point, that's when Bali decided to reject his spiritual master, because Sukracharya had previously told him to give everything to Vishnu. He had told him that, give everything to Vishnu. But when at this particular circumstance, when he could actually perceive that this is really Vishnu and he's going to take everything away, Sukracharya became worried about himself, about his own maintenance. Because if Vishnu takes everything away from Bali, where does that leave Sukracharya? Without a big patron. So Bali at that particular point said, I'm going to give everything to him. And even if he's dissatisfied, still everything's fine. So Bali, his reason, his motivation for giving to Vishnu was love, attraction and love. And so he expresses these in this fifth canto, 24th chapter, from verse 18 to like 26, Bali Maharaj is speaking. Are you going? Bali Maharaj is speaking these wonderful, wonderful prayers where he's contrasting what he gained from Vishnu, and what Indra gained from Vishnu. So Indra and the demigods, they had approached Lord Vishnu only to what? Get a kingdom, get some land, get some position back. And he explains that land that they could get, or any possessions that anyone could get, lasts only for the duration of the lifetime of one Manu. And I just happen to know how long a Manu's lifetime is. Do you know how long a Manu's lifetime is, Trivikram? 72 yugas. 72 yugas is one Manu's lifetime. That translates to, you ready for this? 309,600,000 years. So if anybody gets anything, the longest amount of time that material possession can last is 309,600,000 years. So, in other words, it's temporary. Srila Prabhupada says in the purport there that time is insurmountable and it's quickly gone. Even if it's 309 million years, it's very quickly gone in proper perspective of in the relation of eternal time. What to speak of this 45 years, 50 years, 70 year lifetime that we have? Very quickly gone. So Bali's saying, Indra was less intelligent. Even though he's a great personality, he's less intelligent because he was asking for material gains. And he said, and Brihaspati was less intelligent too, because he was encouraging that. He said, but only Prahlad Maharaj, because it's in the family. But, you know. Only Prahlad Maharaj really knew his real self-interest, because when Lord Nrisingadev asked him to please ask for a benediction, Prahlad Maharaj rejected any material type of benediction because he knew what his real self-interest was. His real self-interest was to ask for service. Ask for service, and that was what Prahlad. Prahlad asked to be engaged in the service of the servant of the servant, of Narada Muni, his spiritual master. Prabhupada says that's the real position of that's the real characteristic of a Vaishnava, that he's really intelligent and he's really humble, because he asks for service of the servant of the Lord. And that's real intelligence. So Bali Maharaj gives these really beautiful prayers there. And I find them really inspiring. Hare Krishna, any comments or questions? I don't have them written. If you go, can you get them? 5:24:23. It'll probably take a few minutes. Trivikram? 5:24:24. Anyway, Hare Krishna. Yeah, is that 22 or 23? Okay, go to 24 then, please. Yes. Okay, there. Alas, how pitiable it is for Indra, the king of heaven, that although he is very learned and powerful, and although he chose Brihaspati as his prime minister to instruct him, he is completely ignorant concerning spiritual advancement. Brihaspati is also unintelligent because he did not properly instruct his disciple Indra. Lord Vamanadeva was standing at Indra's door, but King Indra, instead of begging him for an opportunity to render transcendental loving service, engaged him in asking for alms to gain the three worlds for his sense gratification. Sovereignty over the three worlds is very insignificant, because whatever material opulence one may possess lasts only for an age of Manu, which is but a tiny fraction of endless time. Can you go to 25? Bali Maharaj said, "My grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj, is the only person who understood his own self-interest. Upon the death of Prahlad's father, Hiranyakashipu, Lord Nrisingadev wanted to offer Prahlad his father's kingdom and even wanted to grant him liberation from material bondage. But Prahlad accepted neither. Liberation and material opulence, he thought, are obstacles to devotional service. Therefore, such gifts from the Supreme Personality of Godhead are not his actual mercy. Consequently, instead of accepting the results of karma and jnana, Prahlad Maharaj simply begged the Lord for engagement in the service of his servant." And I think there's one more. Bali Maharaj said, "Persons like us, who are still attached to material enjoyment, who are contaminated by the modes of material nature, and who lack the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, cannot follow the supreme path of Prahlad Maharaj, the exalted devotee of the Lord." And that reminds me of another verse. That reminds me of another series of verses of Ritrasura. Ritrasura in the 6th canto, 11th chapter, when he's offering his prayers after again having fought with Indra, he's expressing his devotion to the Supreme Lord. And he's saying very similar. He said, "I don't want kingdom, I don't want to rule over the planets, the heavenly planets or the subterranean. I don't want anything. I just want service to your lotus feet. And then he offers another prayer. He says, my attachment to my wife, body, and home and children is continuing by the spell of your illusory potency. But I wish to be attached to them no longer. May my mind, body, and consciousness be attached only to you. A very, very, very beautiful prayer. And that last phrase there of Bali Maharaj, where he says that you can't follow, ordinary persons can't follow the path of the exalted devotees, that reminds me of Judd Barrett. Remember when Judd Barrett, after Judd Barrett's whole Leela passes through, he's, you know, Judd Barrett, and he goes, I guess it's Sukadeva Goswami's offering prayers and glorification of Judd Barrett, saying that nobody could follow the path of Judd Barrett, which was like the path of Garuda. All other ordinary people are just like flies in comparison to Garuda. They can't follow that exalted path. But we're so fortunate that Srila Prabhupada, even though our goal is so exalted, pure, loving, unalloyed attachment to the Supreme Lord and the service of his servants, even though that's such an exalted position, Srila Prabhupada and the whole parampara have given us this process that's very easily accessible for the fallen souls in this age of Kali. Hari Bol. So these days are very auspicious. Srila Prabhupada says on these days it's very auspicious. It's also Jiva Goswami's appearance day tomorrow, Bhaktivinoda and Haridas Thakur's disappearance. Very auspicious days to offer prayers to them. They're very open to hear your prayers. So we can offer prayers by the pure devotees and prayers from our hearts, and they'll hear our prayers very kindly. Thank you very kindly for your attention. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Vamana Dev ki jai. Srila Jiva Goswami ki jai.